looked at a little bit of detail from verse 15 down to verse 19. But as I thought about it, when thinking about verse 15 and 16 along in there, there's a statement that Christ makes about Daniel the prophet. If you look back at verse 15, he says this, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." See how Christ makes a reference to Daniel the prophet there? And I trust you will recall that last week when we were together, we actually did go back to the book of Daniel and identified what that specific event is and what Christ is talking about. But as I got to thinking about it, I realized that it's been quite some time since we actually went back to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9 and actually laid out the time schedule itself, the 70 weeks. And because that is perhaps unfamiliar territory with some people, I thought, you know what, it probably would be good for us tonight to actually go back and at least take a few minutes to kind of chart that out. Hence, that's why I set up the whiteboard there. And I set the camera in a different spot tonight because I was hoping that by setting the whiteboard up and the camera up, that folks watching by the internet on Ustream would be able to see this kind of charted out. Now, for those of you listening by way of PowTalk, you're not going to be able to see me do this. So therefore, I'll try to slow down and explain it in such a way that those that are just able to hear this can maybe kind of chart it out. I would suggest that if you're listening on PowTalk, if you would get a pencil and a piece of paper or something and then maybe kind of follow along, see if what I'm going to say actually makes sense, okay?
What's that? Website?
All right, division chart is on the website, but not the chart that I'm going to do here tonight. Although it is in our Daniel study that we did a long, long time ago. I don't know, because we have I think we have over 700, 800 lessons on there. So I don't know exactly where that was.
Yeah,
it is.
Right,
yeah. So let me see here. Dan, do you have sound? Okay, do we have sound on Ustream? Carol, it looks like you asked Dan if he's got sound. Do we have sound? Is Ustream going? It looks like, at least where I'm at, it looks like everyone does but you. Okay, sorry about that, Carol. It looks like at least you can pick up the sound on PowTalk, so maybe it'll work that way. Okay, great. Okay, so here's what I want to do then. We're going to kind of detour a little bit, although it does apply to this context here, because he makes reference to Daniel the prophet. But we're going to detour, we're going to go back to the book of Daniel, specifically in Daniel chapter number 9. We've several instances throughout this study of Matthew so far, we have talked about the idea of Daniel's time schedule. And early on in our study of Matthew, I did chart this out, but it has been obviously many, many, many moons ago, okay, since we started Matthew. So perhaps this will be helpful for those of you that maybe have, you know, tuned into this series and have not seen us draw this out or not heard us talk about this. Now, this is something that if you've been around some dispensational Bible studies and other grace groups, you perhaps already know this, and if so, that's fine. This will just be review for you. But if this is something that you are not familiar with, this is critical information for understanding the prophecy program. And since, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and early Acts is all part of the prophecy program, that's why this is an important thing to make sure that we at least appreciate. It's operating in the background. It is God's prophetic time schedule given here in the book of Daniel. We're going to start at Daniel 9, verse 24. And he says this. I'll move over to the chart here just in a moment, and then we'll move the camera accordingly. Look at Daniel 9, 24. It says this. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, that's Daniel's people, that's Israel, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now these passages give us what is typically referred to as the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. The 70 weeks, you can see at verse 24 where that phrase is taken from, 70 weeks are determined. And this, hold Daniel 9 and turn back with me, this time to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. I know we made this connection a number of months ago when we first started the book of Matthew and the time schedule and so forth, but I want to make it again at this point because, again, it's very likely that some that are joining us now weren't with us at that time or didn't start the series with us when we started, and maybe they're not familiar with this connection. But if you look at Mark 1, verse 14, Mark 1, 14, it says this: Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, now look at the statement there, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What I'd like you to think about and make the connection with is that when Christ here says the time is fulfilled, what time? Well, the time of Daniel's prophecy. What made the kingdom of heaven at hand was the time schedule. We've said before that John the Baptist showed up right on time. Not a day before or a day later, not a year before, a year later, not 10 years before or 10 years later. Jesus Christ was born right on time. What time schedule? Whose time schedule? The time schedule of Daniel's prophecy. That's the connection you want to make with that phrase, okay? So that's why understanding, that's one of the reasons why being able to understand and appreciate the schedule in Daniel's prophecy, why it is really vital to appreciate when Christ says the kingdom of heaven is at hand and the kingdom of God is at hand. It was at hand because of where they were in relationship to the prophecy time schedule. Everybody got me with that so far. And again, I realize y'all are probably real familiar with this anyway, okay? So let's do this then. Let's go back. You can let go of Mark. Go back with me to Daniel chapter number 9. Let's get a little bit of background as to when Daniel got this prophecy. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 this time. When he got it and why he got it at this time. Daniel 9, verse 1. It says, In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which were made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign. Now think about where Daniel was at this time. Who is reigning, which empire is reigning when the events of Daniel 9 are given? Who?
Babylon.
No, look at verse 1.
Oh, that's just over, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. So the Media Persia is reigning, okay? And then if you remember back to Daniel 2, that Nebuchadnezzar was given that great vision of the successive series of Gentile empires that would rise and fall, and then ultimately be conquered by the stone that was cut out without hand, the Messiah. The first empire was, now say it now, Jim, who was the first empire?
Babylon
and Nebuchadnezzar. The second empire was going to be the kingdom of, remember it was the arms? Media Persia. That's where you are. So when Daniel is given the information by the angel, when he's given that information that he records in Daniel 9, the Babylonian Empire is done, they're over with. That part of their captivity, that 70 years, is done. And now Media Persia has taken over. Okay? So Daniel realizes where he is. He says it this way in verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish, okay, how many years? 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel studying the book of Jeremiah, as well as Leviticus and some, he said, notice he says books there. He's reading along the book of Jeremiah, and it dawns on him, by the way, if you want to jot down the reference, write down next to that verse, Jeremiah 25, 11 through 12, Jeremiah 25 verses 11 through 12, and Jeremiah 29 verse 10. Let me give those to you again. Jeremiah 25 verse 11 and 12, and Jeremiah 29 verse 10. So Daniel is reading the book of Jeremiah, and he comes to understand that the captivity by Babylon was going to last for 70 years. Well, Babylon is over. That empire is over with. It's the first year of the Medes and so forth. Daniel begins to add up the years, and he's right close to that 70-year time frame. So if you were Daniel, what question would you be asking? Wouldn't you be asking questions along the line of, okay, are we going back next week? The captivities are just about over, so now what? That's kind of what Daniel's thinking here, all right? He understands that the Lord's going to accomplish 70 years in the destruction. Well, he's right at that, pretty close to that 70-year mark. So his question is, okay, Lord, what's next now? Lord, what's next on the time schedule? And so Daniel begins to pray. You can see at verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord. And he confesses his sins and the sins of the people exactly like Leviticus told him to do, Leviticus 26. And fundamentally, in Daniel's prayer, what he's asking the Lord, it's kind of like he's saying, okay, Lord, now what? God told Israel in the book of Jeremiah and some details in Deuteronomy, which we did not make reference to, but there was going to be the initial phase of their captivity, the initial phase of them being gone out of Israel, out of the land, was going to be 70 years. And that 70 years is just about up at this point. So Daniel basically is wanting, okay, now what comes next? So you kind of see the background there. So God sends the angel to Daniel. And that's when, look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. We're jumping ahead. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Daniel, I'm coming to give you the rest of the time schedule. Okay, at the beginning of thy supplications and commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And now he gives him the time schedule. You see that there? In this, you talk about answered prayer. This is like major. This is huge. This is gigantic. Okay, and this time schedule right here in Daniel 24 is. It is the complete rest of the prophecy time schedule, the end of which would see the accomplishment of the six things listed in verse 24. That's how significant, this is just huge, okay? That's probably not really good English or a proper good way to say it, Aaron, but it's important. Can I say it that way? This is like a little bit important, right? Look at the six things he says that are going to be accomplished through this. Verse 24 again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. We'll come back to that momentarily. To do these six things. To finish the transgression. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, even if you don't know what all six of those are, and we're not going to study all, it would take us weeks and weeks to do all that, but even if you don't know what they were, if you were Daniel, and Daniel did know what those were, by the way, because he had the other prophets like Isaiah and whatever, and Jeremiah to look at. But even if you don't, and you and I don't know specifically what they are, they no doubt sound like good things, right? When you're talking about to finish the transgression. Notice it's the transgression, not transgressions. There's one major transgression that's going to culminate and be eventually destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ and taken care of, okay? It says, and to make an end of sins, all the rebellion of the nation, all their sins is finally going to be made an end of. To make reconciliation for iniquity. That's no doubt like that whole issue of the when the Messiah comes back and establishes the kingdom, they have the National Day of Atonement to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the kingdom. See that? There's no doubt about what that one is. To seal up the vision and prophecy. When you seal something up, what do? You kind of wrap it up. You bring it to its completion, what it was intended to accomplish, and to anoint the most holy. That is the glory of God returning to His place in that New Jerusalem in the kingdom. There's a lot of other details about all that, but again, my purpose is not to go into all six of those things. What I really want us to understand is to appreciate why this prophecy is given at this point, how it is that this prophecy, it completes the entire rest of the prophecy program, and what is going to be accomplished by the end of these 70 weeks are those six things. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a major deal for Daniel. Daniel really is given a lot of information here when he kind of, in a sense, says, and this isn't how he said it, but when he says, okay, Lord, now what? It's like the Lord says, okay, I'm going to give you a whole lot more than you actually bargained for, Daniel. I'm going to give you the whole rest of the picture here of the prophecy program. All right? Having said that, He gives them the duration from start to finish. And just like there were literal 70 years of their captivity to Babylon, so too He's going to give them a literal time schedule here. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now the people, who's Daniel's people? That's Israel, okay? And upon thy holy city. What city is that? Is that like New York? Or is that like...
Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's Jerusalem, okay? There's nothing holy about New York, I don't think, at all. Except the saints that live there, okay? You know? Yeah. This is all determined upon Daniel's people and the holy city to accomplish those six things. All right? Now, let's get a couple of additional details here. When he says 70 weeks... The word week, if you look at the English word week, it just means seven. Our most common use of the word week is in relationship to 7 days, seven 24-hour days, Sunday through Saturday. Okay, that's our most common use. And that is certainly a very common use in the Bible. But that's not the only use either in the world out here or in the Bible. The word week just means seven. It could be seven of a number of things. Let me give you a for example. Go with me, if you would, quickly to Genesis 29. Go with me to Genesis 29. And you're going to see in this context here that the word week is not a reference to 7 days, but rather 7 years. Okay? Now, in the context of Genesis 29, this is when Jacob agrees to work 7 years for one of for Laban's daughters. Okay, and look down at verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee and I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years. Okay? Look at verse 21. "And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled." What days? The 7 years. Right? "That I may go in unto her." Laban get. And what happens is Laban is not a trustworthy guy. He's a kind of a conniver. He's Jacob's match. You understand that? These guys are competing constantly to outdo each other. Alright? So, anyway. So what happened, verse 24, Laban gave his daughter Leah. Oh, wait, the previous verse. "It came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him." And he gives her the other girl, okay? And, of course, Jacob was none too smart. Anyway, that's another whole issue. Like, how does that... Wait, dude, come on. You know, you talk about... Well, I'll get myself in trouble. I better move on. Okay, so you can see at verse 25, "It came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me?" And so on. So look at verse 26. Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Watch this. Fulfill her what?
Week.
"Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet how many, what? 7 years. The word week there clearly is week in years, not week days. So verse 28, "Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter," and so on. So you can see there's an example clearly where the word week is not a reference to 24-hour period 7 days, but 7 years. You see that there? Isn't that kind of interesting how the Bible does that? Well, when you take that idea back to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 9, that's how you want to read the use of the word week here in Daniel 9. Daniel 9. He says at verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon that thy people. Okay, so if it's 70 weeks, if it's weeks of years, how many years is 70 times 7?
490.
That's 490 years, right? That's pretty simple. I'll draw this out on the chart here in just a moment, but obviously that's pretty simple to see. So it's not 490 days. It's 490 years. If it was 490 days, or 7 day periods and so forth, you understand, then the kingdom should have been set up way hundreds of years before Christ ever showed up. It would not calculate out. It wouldn't make any sense at all. Alright? So it's going to be 70 sevens of years. 490 years. Now, having said that, now jump to verse 25. He says this. He's going to give him the starting point. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So what's 7, 62? What's that? How many weeks is that? That's 69 weeks. Right? You got 7, you got 60. A score is 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got 60, how many is that?
60.
So you got the 60 plus the 7 plus 2, so you got 69 weeks. So Daniel is told that here's when I want you to start marking your calendar. And in 69 sevens of years later, that's 483 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Messiah will be in your midst as the prince. Everybody following with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Now, didn't he tell us in verse 24, though, that there's 70 weeks, but in verse 25 I only have 69. So I'm missing what? I'm missing 7 years. I'm missing that last week. Well, that's why when you jump to verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for what?
One week.
There's that last week of 7 years. That, verse 27, is that's why we refer to it, that's why you will hear it referred to as the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. The 70th week. That's verse 27. Everybody with me so far? Right? Okay, let me just do this. Just for a few minutes, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to move over to the chart. I'm going to kind of need you to watch this to tell me if I focus this properly, but also the problem is the microphone's on this thing. So I'm hoping that the microphone will still pick it up.
We'll have to
I'm going to move this over and I'm going to adjust the camera to look at the Okay, but I just got to get it where the microphone will still pick up what I'm saying. So I'm going to get that out of the way. I'm going to kind of bring this over here, and then I'll turn the camera. You tell me when that's set there. How's this for modern technology and audiovisual, whatever? How's that? Does that look like it's on the chart there?
Yeah, it's definitely in the middle.
Maybe I should move it a little closer to it. Do I need to go up, down, sideways?
You need to go... I'm looking opposite. You need to go to the left.
Okay.
It isn't moving.
Is it locked up now? Did it lock up?
It's timing, but it isn't moving on your... You're not there.
Oh, it locked up on us.
Ah.
Oh, man. Hey, Dan, are you looking at Ustream? And if so, did it lock up on us? Can you tell me? Ustream is not... Mm-hmm. Ah, brother, it locked up. all that for... It's locked. Oh, man. Well, what do we do here? Well. That's too bad. I was hoping to be able to chart this out for you. Oh, you know, there it is. Okay, it's back. It's back.
So okay. It's delayed.
It's delayed, yeah. Okay, it's okay. Back. Dan, can you let me know? Are you in fact seeing? Is it back there for us?
Perfect.
It's good? All good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me do this again. I know y'all are with me in terms of understanding this, but let me just depict it out here for those watching on YouTube. Okay. So when he says 70 sevens, so 70 sevens would be how many years? It's going to be, the whole time schedule is going to be 490 years long. And he's going to be given a starting point. What was the starting point? Somebody want to read that verse? At verse 25, from the going forth of the commandment. Verse 25 there.
Going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem.
Okay, that's important. Notice the starting point is when the commandment is given to restore and build the city. Not the temple, but the city. And I'll talk in a moment why that's important. So the starting point is going to be when they're told to go forth, given authority to build the city. Unto Messiah the Prince is going to be how many? It's going to be 7 plus 60 plus 2, right? So you've got a total of, you've got 69 sevens of years. So you've got 483 years. So it's going to be 483 years to the day. When you start the commandment to build a city until the Messiah, the Prince, comes riding into Jerusalem, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. When he comes into Jerusalem that last time to the temple and cleanses it. If you want to look at a detailed study about this, you can read a great book by Sir Robert Anderson called The Coming Prince. It's really fascinating. But he says, right to the day. All right. But then it says Messiah is going to be cut off. Right? It says, and after three score, see, after the three score there, and two. So after that sequence, after that's done, sometime out here, Messiah gets cut off. That's the crucifixion, no doubt. Messiah gets cut off. And then the false Messiah shows up, and he confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, so 1 times 7, 7 years there. All right. So, of course, when you add the 483 plus the 7, that's how you have the total 490 years. That time schedule, again, I realize that's pretty crude on the whiteboard and everything there, but that whole time schedule runs the rest of the prophetic program. If you were to do a study on the prophets and the way that they, the way that the information is overlaid, it's like Daniel is given the time schedule and the other information in the other prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, it's like they put overlays on events that happen during the balance of the time schedule. Isaiah will come along and say, okay, now this is going to happen here, and then this is going to happen here, and this is going to happen during the Messiah's ministry, and then this is going to happen during the tribulation period. Jeremiah has come along, because Jeremiah prophesied before Daniel, of course. Jeremiah came along and said there's going to happen, some things going to happen before this, and then there are a lot of things going to happen during this schedule, and again in the tribulation period and that time. They kind of overlay Daniel's prophets, the time schedule. It's incredible the way it all works together, right? And I'm probably just confusing the way I'm trying to say it. But the schedule in Daniel's prophecy there, it is the thing that controls and runs the entire rest of the prophecy program. That's how critical it is. That's how important it is. Okay? Now, before I stop here, does anybody have any questions about this? It's pretty basic, right? Pretty simple. Anybody have a question on that? Okay. So what I want to look at now then is we're going to go back and try to pinpoint when that event happened. The going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay, we'll come back to that. And then, of course, unto Messiah, the Prince, and so forth. So I'm going to turn the camera back. We're going to go just like this, turn back up here. I'm wearing many hats tonight. I'm doing audio visual, I'm writing on the whiteboard. So, is this okay or is it locked up again? Is there a question?
It recorded the whole time, but as soon as you move the camera, well, we got to get this back on closer with the camera.
Well, I'm done with this.
Oh, you are?
Sit back down, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let me move this out of the way.
See, I don't know if they all saw that. That's the problem.
You mean the chart?
It recorded the whole thing, but it didn't show it real time.
Oh, it didn't. Okay. No. I'll tell you what. Let me ask. Let me go back to Paltalk for just a second. Let me grab my glasses here. Let's ask Dan something here. Let me get back to Paltalk.
Yeah, it's showing it. But it's definitely recording.
Dan, I keep saying Daniel. Dan, did you...
He's not on this thing.
No, he's on Paltalk, though.
Yeah.
Recording hasn't been caught up real time.
That's what I looked at there.
We didn't see it. Did you on Paltalk... Oh, you lost Ustream. Oh, yeah, locked up again. You didn't see the chart. No, brother. So much for that idea. Oh, man.
But it recorded.
Well,
you explained it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. You know what? We're just going to, we'll move on. You lost it again. Yeah. What's the old saying? You get what you pay for, right? You stream the screen.
Oh, yeah.
So you just have to put up with the technological issues. So.
But I think we can go back later and look at it because I think it recorded it.
That's true. So it might, so we'll save this recording
when
we're done and then make it available. Plus what we might be able to do, it could make this chart, I can just chart this out. It's really basic and simple, but I could chart it out and just put it on our website. That might help. So, all right. So then let's do this. And we're back with you on Paltalk anyway. And Ustream is intermittent off and on. We're just gonna have to, you know, go forward. Let's then go back to Daniel 9:25, and let's see if we can pinpoint when this commandment. You see, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, that's important. The reason I'm saying it's the city, that's important for a couple reasons you'll see here this morning. Go back with me to the book of Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. I want you to get the book of Ezra chapter number 1 and Nehemiah also chapter number 2. But go with me first of all to the book of Ezra chapter number 1. Watch this. Okay, again, you got to put your thinking caps on here. Look at verse 1. Now in the first year, I'm in Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, I'll come back to the next verse in just a moment. Okay, so just like I asked the question a while ago, when you're in Daniel 9, which empire was in control when Daniel got the information in Daniel 9? Which empire? Empires? Media Persia. Ezra, chapter number 1. Which empire is in control? The Persia. See that? So this is after the 70-year servitude. This is after the Babylonian Empire is done and gone. Right? So that head of gold is gone. You're now in Media Persia time. And so what happens, that 70-year servitude is over with, the 70-year servitude that Jeremiah spoke about. And so now watch what happens. You see how it says right in the verse, it says, the word Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. There's the commandment to go forth and build what? The house. The temple. Exactly. This is the commandment that is oftentimes confused. And said to be, this is the starting point of Daniel's prophecy. No, not yet. This commandment here is specifically to go and build the house for God. That's the temple. This is the building of the house at Jerusalem. Now, several years later, if you'll go with me this time now to Nehemiah. So what happens is that when Ezra gives that command, a number of Jews go back. A number, what's the term they use? Not expatriate, what's the phrase I'm using when they go back and populate their land? But anyway, I can't think of the word right now. What's that?
Repatriate.
Is that repatriate or something like that? I forget what the technical word is. But anyway, a number of them go back. In fact, there's a whole list of names and everything of people that go back, okay? When you go over to chapter 2 of Ezra and so forth. So a bunch of them go back, they begin to build the temple, they run into a lot of opposition by the Gentiles in the territory and so forth, but that's another whole story. Well, now when you fast forward to Nehemiah, Nehemiah did not go back with that first wave of Jews that went back to rebuild the house of God. So look at chapter 1 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah. What a name, Hekaliah. Is he a heckler or what? And it came to pass in the month Kislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain of men of Judea, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He asked this guy, Hanani, about those Jews that went back. How are things going there? Everybody follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the next verse. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to, so what kind of report does he get? You know, things are not going well at all. Okay, came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. I said, I beseech you. And now he begins to pray similar to what Daniel does. He's following the pattern of prayer in Israel's program, confessing his sins and so forth. O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attended and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. See how he follows that? He believes Leviticus 26. He believes how Israel was to return and repent and confess their sins. And that's what he's doing here. So he's basically, in this case, he's similar to what Daniel's asking for. He's saying, Lord, bottom line is we've got to go build a city. All right, so now, jump down, this time now go to chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Obviously, this king was a pretty wise king and knew his people and so forth. That's an interesting whole interaction there. He says, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Because, you know, frankly, when you're among the king, you're probably not supposed to show your emotions and so forth. And I love what it says here. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So when I said I love what he said, this is where I should have said. I love this phrase. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. Think about that. You ever done that? You know, your boss calls you in to account for something, and you're praying to God, but you're talking to your boss. No. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I was talking to the king here, you know. Anyway, the king says to him, he says, what do you make request for? And the verse 5, and it says to the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, he had to check with the wife first here, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him, I set him a time. More rich, by the way, this is when the commandment is given to go forth and build. What's he interested in building, the city or the house of God?
House of God.
A city.
See that?
I'm lost.
Anyway, the difference between the commandment given by Cyrus in Azariah chapter number 1 and the commandment given here by Xerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2 here is the one in Ezra is a commandment that they're told to go back and build the house of God. This is the one commandment, go back and build the city. That's when they're supposed to start counting the days. Right here, this day. Okay? And so what Nehemiah, and for that matter, the rest of those who believe the Word of God could do is that they could check off, hey, this is day number 1 on that 493 years, and Messiah will be in our midst. See that? And then 483, and then the 493 years would see the kingdom being established and so forth. Isn't that fascinating how all that works together? It's incredible how the prophecies all work together. Okay? So, if you'll go back with me now to the book of Isaiah and Daniel chapter number 9, Isaiah 53, Daniel chapter number 9, Isaiah was written prior to the book of Daniel. Was that Jonathan?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Did he make it all right?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Okay, all right. Isaiah 53. Remember, Isaiah prophesied prior to Daniel's prophecy. And I want you just to compare something. You should have Isaiah 53 and Daniel 9. In Isaiah 53, this is one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah and his death, as well as his resurrection, but his death on behalf of Isaiah's people, the nation of Israel. Okay? The very famous passage about, like at verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See, everybody's familiar with that. Verse 6, all we like sheep, that's Isaiah's people here. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We are turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Obviously that's a prediction about what eventually was the cross of Christ, right? Okay? Then they keep reading. Yet he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is done so. He opened not his mouth. There he's brought to the Pharisees, the scribes, the Pilate, and so forth. He was taken from prison, so they put him in prison, and they take him out of prison, and from judgment, so they take him to Golgotha. Who shall declare his generation? For he was what? Cut off out of the land of the living. Now, clearly, what does that wind up being? That's the cross, right? For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He was crucified between two thieves, but he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Remember that? Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man? Mm-hmm. Because he had done no violence, neither was any dust in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, it be the Father, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, that's what was happening at the cross. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. There's his resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's the kingdom. Do you see that in the verses? Because he's dead. He's dead in verse 8. He's buried in verse 9. So how does days get prolonged? And how does the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand? Because he's raised from the dead and given the kingdom, given the empire. See that? This is pretty cool when you see all that, when you think about it that way. Okay? What I want you to pick up is that phrase in verse 8, he was cut off. Now go back to Daniel 9. Look at verse 20. See, Messiah the Prince is going to show up. 483 years after the commandment that we read about in Nehemiah. And again, as I said earlier, that author, Sir Robert Anderson, in the book The Coming Prince, he says it was exactly to the day that Jesus Christ came riding into Jerusalem, Matthew 21, and he came riding into Jerusalem on that donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, presenting himself as the Lamb of God. Isn't that fascinating? He said it was to the day. But you'll notice what verse 26 says. It says, and after 62 weeks, that's the 62 back given in 25, okay, jumps ahead. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be what? Well, there's no doubt what that has to be. The book of Daniel is already written, it's already in existence, and the angel who was given this information to Daniel uses the exact same words as already prophesied in Isaiah. There's his crucifixion. He's cut off, but he's not cut off for himself. Well, who's he cut off for? Well, Isaiah told us, not for himself, but for his people. Remember that? And then here comes this other bunch. And the people of the prince that shall come, that's a different prince. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, I think, right?
Antichrist.
Yes, that winds up being the Antichrist. You've got two different princes here. You've got Messiah, the prince, capital P. Here you've got a different prince, little p. And what he does, he destroys the city, the sanctuary. Verse 27 now. That's that false prince. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week. So when you add the weeks given in verse 25 and the week given in verse 27, there's your full 70 weeks or 490 years. And it is in that 7 year, that last 7 year period, that's when the abomination of desolation happens. It happens, look at verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week. So somewhere along the middle of the week there, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, if you go back to Matthew 24, then we're pretty much out of time here, but go back to Matthew 24. I didn't cover everything I wanted to tonight, but that's okay. I'll pick up next week on that. Go back to Matthew 24. Excuse me. You can see then in Matthew 24 verse 15, when Christ makes the statement there, when ye therefore shall see the abomination, the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. The believing remnant, they're going to be familiar with the book of Daniel. They're going to be watching for that 70th week. They will know that Messiah has already come and gone. He's crucified, was raised from the dead. He's at the Father's right hand. They're going to know where they are in that last 7 year period. And they're going to know, therefore, what to do when they see that event happening. Isn't that incredible to think about that? How Christ is clearly providing them the information they need to do to know in order to get through this. But they're going to have to believe the Bible. They're going to have to believe their Old Testament. They're going to have to believe the book of Daniel. They're going to have to believe Matthew here in order to have the information mean anything to them and be any benefit to them. By the way, isn't that true for us today as well? You know, you not only have to know the Bible, you got to know the Bible rightly divided. You got to know your apostle. You got to know the gospel of grace of God. You got to know how grace works in order for the information to be of any benefit to you. Right? So, all right. Well, listen, I know that's kind of a lot to go over, especially when Ustream wasn't working so well and the chart kind of didn't come out and everything. But does anybody have a question here?
But it's still recording, isn't
it? Yeah, it looks like it is recording.
You can't catch up in real time.
Yeah.
I don't think you have enough random access memory for it.
Maybe that's the problem. And I can't add any to this particular computer. It's already maxed out in terms of the RAM. So we'll let that run for a few minutes to get caught up, and then I'll save it, and hopefully it'll save to the Ustream site and everything. So. Anybody here have any questions?
I do. When it says stand in the holy place, where is that?
Okay, the question is based on verse 15 when Christ said there stand in the holy place. The holy place would be the holiest of holies in the temple. And what the Antichrist is going to wind up doing, he's going to go stand in the holiest of holies and he's going to claim to be God.
Oh,
that's what he's talking about.
I'm saying they are supposed to stand there because the following verses are supposed to flee to the mountain, so I was confused.
When he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. When you see that event, when you see him stand in the holy place, when you see that prince go stand in the holiest of holies, and look back at, if you look back at Daniel 9, verse 27, it doesn't specifically say here he stands, but what it does say, 9:27, it says, in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So he stops the sacrificial system. Well, why would he do something like that? Because he's going to claim to be what the sacrifices were all about. He's going to claim he's the Messiah. He's going to go in that temple, stand there and say, I'm God, worship me. So forth. Okay. Paul also makes reference to that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but we won't be able to get that right now tonight, okay? Okay. Anybody else have a question? And anybody on Ustream, on Pal Talk, have a question? If so, just raise your hand there. Okay, I don't see any hands up on Pal Talk at this point. If you do have a question, just click on that raise hand icon. It'll put a hand up next to your name there. And for those who normally watch by Ustream, but that also listen on Pal Talk, again, I don't know what to say. I apologize. But that's 2 weeks in a row now we've had some problems with Ustream. We generally don't have that many problems with it. So I'm not sure why that's what that's all about. Okay, well, I don't see any other hands up, so let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and we'll dismiss the class. Our gracious God and Father, we are grateful for the time that we can spend looking in your Word tonight, especially going back and reviewing such a critical passage in the Old Testament that really has plays a major part in the rest of your prophetic program. And by seeing this, it helps us to piece together so many other verses that oftentimes are kind of thought of as just being random. We know that nothing in your Word is random. It all fits together. And that when Christ said the time was fulfilled, it indeed was. That it was right on time for Messiah to show up. And the prophecy in Daniel was continuing on. So we're thankful, Father, that we are able to read your Word and the way that your Word is indeed couples itself all together, and for the insight that provides us. We're grateful as well that we live in the dispensation of grace, and that by living in the dispensation of grace, we are indeed, we've not been appointed to wrath, we're saved from that wrath to come. We do know that we will experience difficulties, challenges, just the troubles of this life, and yet you've given us more than sufficient provision to equip us with and be able to endure the sufferings of this present time. And we are indeed grateful for that. In Christ's name, amen.